Welcome to Season 2 of the Craft Beer Connoisseurs Podcast. I'm Chris, and if you're new to the podcast, we're three friends and a producer who like to showcase craft breweries and their beers. Also, we like to end every episode with a short conversation on a variety of different topics. If you're not new to the podcast, welcome back. We'll keep things similar to Season 1. After all, if it isn't broke, then don't fix it. Whether you're new or returning, please feel free to listen to all of our Season 1 content. And remember to follow us on Instagram at craftbeercons, send a friend request on Untappd, or subscribe on YouTube at craftbeerconnoisseurs. Also, drop a comment, like, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Now for today's episode. Welcome to the Craft Beer Connoisseurs. I'm Chris.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Brett. Along with us today is producer Ricardo.
Wow.
Look at that R roll.
Right.
So in today's episode, we're going to be reviewing the London Brewing Co-op, which is in London.
Nowhere. Come on.
Yeah,
nice.
You want to know what else is no way? We're having two beers today.
No.
Oh, no
way.
Could
have thought?
Wow.
The first one is the London Organic Lager, which is a house lager. And the second is the Organic Hazy IPA.
Oh, boy. Lots of R rolls today. So to finish up the episode, we're going to discuss organics and the pros and cons of the cooperative business model. All right, we are back, and the London Brewing Co-op, which we're reviewing today, is located at 521 Burdock Place in London, and it moved there in 2017 from its original residency at the Root Cellar Organic Cafe.
Nice.
Yeah, so kind of hints at their organic, you know, kind of incorporation of ingredients.
For sure.
So the brewery itself is owned by its workers, hence the co-op. They have an equal voice in the direction and the operations of the brewery, along with some profit sharing. So that's always nice.
Mm-hmm.
So it sits in an old, funky factory space that was actually Canada's first cooperatively owned brewery. And I believe TWB in Kitchener is also a co-op, as the other one. So there are also one of only two independent craft breweries in Ontario who are certified to brew organic beer.
And they do it well, as we'll find out later on. So from plow to pint, London Brewing brings in the finest organic malts and hops available. They pride themselves on making beer that values relationships, cooperation, and community, but also recognizing the nature of our planet and the need to make more sustainable choices.
Yeah. Thanks. We're all for that, right, guys?
Totally.
Bingo.
Yeah, so their mission is to produce quality beers that meet the diverse tastes of today's drinker, reflecting on the importance of how the ingredients are sourced and the development of the recipes. And this is something that we obviously enjoy. And, I mean, when we look at a lot of the different breweries, some of them will focus on, like, very traditional styles, right, out of Belgium or Germany. Mm-hmm. London Brewing Co. does a very good job of having a very diverse kind of selection of beers and beer types,
correct,
right? So lagers, we do have some sours there. They have stouts. So it is nice to see that they can keep to the general core of the organic kind of profile,
yep,
as well as diversify in the type of beer styles that you can get.
Agreed, 100%. So they used to have a one-barrel system, and that has now turned into a 15-barrel system. So with one barrel, they were only making 117 liters per brew run. Now it's 1,800.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right? It's a big difference.
So this made them switch from a nano brewery into a microbrewery, in large part due to a government investment in the area within 2017, and allowed them to gain four fermenters, one bright tank, a mash tun, and a boil kettle, along among other things.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we will say that in kind of preparation for this episode, Tyler, you and I, we went to London Brewing Co-op because it's not that far.
No.
And we had a nice conversation with Emma there at London Brewing, and we kind of took a look at the new space. So basically, they've done some recent renovations during, I believe, the latest lockdown when they weren't open.
Right.
And they've renovated the 100-seat tap room. Generally, they have about 12 taps available, and oftentimes they have some guest taps as well. They've got some locally made pub snacks, and we just kind of had a couple beers there, took a look at the space. It's a nice space.
It is. Yeah. And you know what? Like, the space is nice, but I would say Emma's nicer. She is great to work with. And we went in, we had a conversation with her, and we had a couple pints while we were there.
Yeah, both pints look good in terms of your ratings on Untappd, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. There was one that wasn't actually that was on there, but on Untappd.
Okay, then.
And Yeah.
You guys go. Chris was the
first one to put it on there, but I was the first one to toast it actually put it on
the coffee cream ale, I think, right?
For sure.
We were the first ones to have it on Untappd. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
it's good that you guys were allowed to do that, because that's probably the first time for you guys.
No.
Oh, wow.
But that's okay. So we got to go back to how much beer that they produce. And again, what do you do with that beer? There's a couple of ways that you can serve it. You can do a draft. You can put it into a keg. You can ship that off to somebody else. But you can also can it. And some of the information that we got while we were there is their canning equipment they actually got from another brewery. Do you want to take a stab at it, Brett?
Sure. And also a brewery that we've had on a previous episode.
It is. Well. That's right.
Flying Monkeys.
Flying Monkeys.
So they used to use Northern Canning, but then obviously purchased their own machine from Flying Monkeys. And now everything is just done in-house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so they also renovated their outdoor space, which is kind of set up with a row of maybe, I don't know, 10 picnic tables, we'll say. And then each of the picnic tables has its own heater on the wall with its own switch. So basically when we talked to Emma about it, she was saying like we're trying to go for a lot of energy efficiency. And so it is a electric heater. Yep. But what she said is it is timed, which actually leads to that efficiency kind of more than the gas. So.
And I've been out there with producer Ricardo as well, actually, and had a couple of pints on
those. He must have missed that invite, eh, Chris?
Yeah, I know.
No, we sent it. You guys just had better things to do, I suppose.
Must have got lost in the mail.
Exactly.
So one thing that we kind of want to mention here, well, I mean, there's a lot of different things that we want to mention. So the one big one, I guess, is they have the only organic craft lager in the LCBO. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit later on as well.
We are trying that one.
Yes. And they do have 6 owners now, actually, with the co-op. So Emma just joined that recently, and I mean, we got to mention Bernie the Cellar Man. So
yeah,
it seems like there's always some kind of lure when it comes to a different brewery, and Bernie might be that guy. Right?
And he's a cellar guy.
He's a cellar guy
or cellar man. I should say.
You know, it does it all. By the sounds of it, at least, from what I said.
It's kind of like, hey, if it's got to be done, Bernie's going to do it.
Yeah. And when we talk about sustainability with London Brewing Co., I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that they try to get local products. So 40% is local hops and 60% is the malts. Now, again, it's trying to stay with that sustainability, that organic side of things. And it is really nice to see we like that.
Now, we should talk about what they usually do in kind of like the September area. Right.
What do they do?
They usually have an annual craft beer festival.
Emma's birthday.
Yeah, it's always on.
So what she does is she throws herself a big party.
That's what we said.
She said it was her and 2 other people at the brewery have birthdays always in that weekend.
Within that week.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. So obviously it was canceled in 2020, you know, that whole COVID thing, but started again in 2021. And again, it's going to be back this year, which, you may see us there, live and in action.
Maybe, hopefully.
Maybe, right?
We could be there.
But we have talked about it.
But to go swing back into 2019, myself, Tyler, and producer Ricardo, we did go. We did venture out. We did have a lot of tasters that evening.
Yeah.
Yep.
We did have a designated driver, which was very nice. Thank you to Ricardo's fiance, girlfriend. We don't know what to call her, but one of those. And she drove us home. But a lot of tasters, a lot of good times in terms of that. I think they had about 12 or 13 different breweries, and then a bunch of guest kegs that they had there as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I just wanted to circle back on one thing real quick. You mentioned, Tyler, about the local ingredients. They actually have a beer called Organic Local 117, where all of the ingredients in that beer come within 117 kilometers of the brewery.
Right.
So,
look at them. So, speaking of beers that they create, they have 173 beers that they've created over time, with 21,000 different check-ins for an average rating of 3.60. For myself, I've had 14 different ones from there. So the highest rated ones outside of beers on today's episode, a little hint, nudge, nudge for later, I've had 3 4s. So a Kumquat Sour, which obviously you don't see a lot of Kumquat.
You don't see a lot of that.
The Heritage Wheat and also the Southwest Wheat. So a lot of wheat going on there.
You like their wheat beers.
Apparently I do. Tyler, what beers do you enjoy?
Yeah, so I've had 14 of them before I can tell you what I enjoyed. And the highest one was the Oh My Darling Clementine IPA.
Yes, I feel as though you may have had that with somebody else.
Yeah, so producer Ricardo and myself actually had that after I think we hit up Anderson first, and then we went over there and had it on the picnic table underneath one of those cedars.
It's actually nice to have like a little Bermuda Triangle there with Anderson and London Brewing and then Powerhouse.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, because we did do Anderson at the beginning of this season, and they're kind of, like you said, part of that Bermuda Triangle. So maybe we'll get Powerhouse on the podcast in short order, hopefully.
Maybe, yeah.
Kind of complete
be
that
a short
triangle.
Drive to pick up the beers.
Yeah, it's true. So I have had 9 beers from them. 3 fours, the Mocha Brownie 4 p.m. Sunset, the Cranberry Chocolate 4 p.m. Sunset, and maybe one of the beers on today's episode. I'll kind of leave it at that.
I just know that you like 4 p.m. sunsets. Well, you want it to be dark pretty quickly.
I mean, me and Tyler went to the brewery just a bit before Christmas, I think it was. And they had, what they had did was, you know, their 4 p.m. sunset is their kind of core stout. And they had done, I think, 4 variations of that stout. Yeah. And so the Mocha Brownie and the Cranberry Chocolate were 2 of those 4 variations.
And I am missing out on a lot of invites.
I still have my bottle, actually. Of the,
do you really?
Of the brownie. I have yet to crack it.
You were going to do a brownie night or a cookie night.
I was going to do a cookie night, but things got out of hand in a hurry. So.
Yeah.
That happens.
Let me go through producer Ricardo. So Ricardo's had 12 as well. And again, as previously mentioned, that the Oh My Darling Clementine IPA, he gave it a 4.25.
Which, must have been the company.
You know what? I didn't want to say it, but I'm glad you mentioned it.
So LCBO is available at least in Southwestern Ontario. So you have the organic lager that we're going to be reviewing today. Their Front Porch Session IPA. The Hibiscus Kettle Sour.
That's a nice one. I like that one.
Yeah, I do too. And also the 4 p.m. Sunset, as you mentioned previously, Chris.
Well, I will say, actually, the Emma did mention that the Hazy IPA now also available in LCBOs.
Yes.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. So at the time of recording, there's certainly 13 different options available, ones that we haven't mentioned or not having today. So the Earl of Adelaide Double IPA, the Workhorse IPA, Downtown Coconut Brown. Chris, you did mention the local 117. It's an amber ale. This is a good little punny. Bourbon Legend, a bourbon barrel-aged oatmeal stout, along also with both the coffee cream ale and then London National's cream ale.
Which I had both of.
Yeah, so
there actually was the
coffee. Tyler's a big cream ale fan, what can we say?
And then the London National's cream ale.
So speaking of the hours, in terms of what you can go, because you seem to be there a lot, Tyler, go ahead.
Yeah, so the tap room and bottle shop are open Tuesday through Thursday, 12 to 9, Friday, 12 to 11, Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sunday, 12 to 6. One thing to mention, they do have live music that they have a little stage set up, which is kind of nice. And actually, the repositioning of that stage is it allows you on either the east or the west side of the building to see it.
Actually, you know what else they have? Wednesday night euchre tournament.
I
did see that. Forgot to put it in.
You will see some pictures about the euchre tournament.
Did you guys participate in one of those yet or no?
No. So Emma and I were actually talking about both. Neither her or I know how to play euchre. Tyler,
I should find out.
Tyler offered to give us lessons, so maybe
enough time or enough beer to go through that. But there are some plates up there, and we'll post those pictures of the euchre trophies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So delivery, if you want to get the beer delivered to you. So in the London area, they have free shipping on orders over 50. And if you're not in the London area, but you are in Ontario, then you can get free shipping over $100.
And maybe you might get a couple lessons on how to play euchre.
Maybe.
Oh, maybe. That's part of the little insert there. So what we are going to do, if you want to get information on how you can buy those beers, we'll link their information on our Instagram.
Well, I feel as though this is going to be like a nice organic transition into our first beer, eh, boys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead. Let's try it.
All right. So a big thank you again to Emma.
Huge
at
thank
London
you.
Brewing. Yeah. Thank you so much for
putting
the tour.
Up with those guys as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Handful. Real handful.
We said at least Brett's not here.
She agreed.
Yeah. She did, actually.
She did, actually.
At least producer Ricardo's not there either, right? So.
She didn't say that, though.
No, she did not.
So
thank you for providing the beers as well for today's episode. So the first beer we're going to have is the London Organic Lager, which is a Helles Lager. Comes in at 4.7 ABV with 18 IBUs.
Yeah, so this Munich Helles Lager is a maltier and breadier version than its Czech-style counterpart, providing a great body that is balanced by the Sterling hop. Mm. This hop imparts flavors of Germany with aromas of spice and herb that balance out the sweetness of the malt itself.
I love the flavor of Germany.
Germany. So this beer is described as clean tasting. This will also have flavors of toasted cereal grains along with the herbal and floral hop notes. So we'll see if that kind of comes through when we get to the tasting.
Absolutely. So as always on Untappd, you can follow us at Craft Beer Connoisseurs and on our Instagram at Craft Beer Cons. So the overall rating for the organic lager is 3.47 out of 5 bottle caps with about 1,400 check-ins. And there are 18 5 out of 5s for this beer. So we are drinking this one out of the can. There are 1,074 can check-ins with an average of 3.51.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Let's grab the can. Let's grab the glass. And let's open her up. Oh, yeah. Right to the top.
Oh, by the way,
love that sound.
This can is cold. Unlike, previous producer specials.
There you go. So we are drinking this lager out of a pint glass, so make sure to use your proper glassware.
Nice. So we're probably seeing standard stuff for a lager.
That is a clean looking lager.
Clean and crisp.
Yeah.
And organic.
Yes,
and organic. You are correct on that one.
Look at that carbonation coming through.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's nice right there, yeah.
Decent little head on her, a little frothy top, but nothing out of the ordinary, nothing too much. And yeah, like super clean, eh? Like
very clean, yeah.
Very, very see-through with a little bit of carbonation.
I can see Ricardo right through my glass.
And I can see you.
And I don't want to see any of you.
Wow.
That's rude.
Yeah, you're such a rude guy.
Yeah, I'm just organically matched to you guys, so sorry.
There you go.
Well, what do you guys smell on this one?
I was just going to say, right?
Yeah.
I'm getting some of that cereal notes.
Yes, I'm getting cereal as well.
Yeah, it's very like bready, very malty, almost like yeasty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do. Bread, yeast, yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, you need yeast with bread, you need yeast with beer.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, I think this is going to be a fairly standard kind of lager. I mean, we'll see what kind of comes through with it. If we get those like the cereal kind of notes,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's defined itself as easy drinking, and so hopefully we get that right. And I'm sure Brett will talk about the can as he's looking at it right now. But maybe we get a little sippy poo poo.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's sip, and then I'll talk about it. Or you guys go sip, and then I'll talk about the can.
Yeah, you talk, we sip.
Okay. So very silverish can. In terms of the label, definitely has the hops along with like the kind of barrel that you'd see within the London Brewing logo itself.
Yep.
Local cooperative organic. And again, one of those things, very much, and as you said, easy drinking lager, going to finish smooth and clean. They're kind of describing exactly what it is on the can, which is kind of like what you like, for example, from a label. And also, you know, the whole touching about their, you know, their localness, their cooperativeness, and their organicness as well.
Organicness.
Nice. Yes. But you didn't think that was going to be a word today, but organicness is correct. Tyler, how did it taste on the swallow?
Yeah. No, thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, this beer actually really reminds me of a bakery. So going back to when we were a little bit younger, there used to be the I Love My Gallery auction, which was like a radio auction that was in Stratford. And there was a place that made bread. Yep. And they focused on like artisanal breads. And I remember my dad, you know, bid on the thing and he got one artisanal loaf or something like that every month for the year.
Oh.
And this tastes like the smell of that place. So it's very kind of bready. The maltiness kind of comes through the cereal aspect of it. But like just, I don't know, it reminds me of a very like, again, kind of clean, artisanal, kind of like bready.
Yeah. So the taste of this beer is kind of exactly what I was expecting based on the look of it. Very clean, very crisp. And it has a little bit of that bite, like from that crispiness. And then you get that maltiness kind of coming through at the end.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, up front, but it lingers as well to the end and that breadiness.
But that like jump of the cut of the crispiness really hits you up front.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, the crispiness right away.
And, you know, the one thing I know lagers sometimes get a little bit of, knack, if you will, on Untappd in terms like, you know, it's never going to get a five, et cetera.
And with us sometimes.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally.
But you also have to take in the pride and care that they're putting into a lager, right? Because it takes a lot more time in order to get it from, you know, start to finish versus, you know, an IPA.
Right. The brewing process of it.
Exactly, yeah. Right? So I think exactly, you know, you guys have hit the nail on the head, if you will.
Yeah.
It's got that breadiness. It's got that, you know, almost that maltiness at the end. It's definitely, you know, clean, crisp, refreshing, smooth. Everything you look for in a lager, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, totally. And we kind of talk about this on other episodes when we have lagers, and Ricardo's mentioning this too, is if this was, you know, if you were a non-craft beer drinker and you popped into the to London Brewing Co-op, this is probably the beer that you would get as a good introduction.
As a good starter.
Yeah, to craft beer.
And it is a good starter.
It is, totally.
All right. Well,
top five flavor profiles.
You want to do that?
Why not?
We've done we've done the last couple. Yeah, you know, you go ahead and do it.
Okay.
One. Yeah.
Number one, light.
Yeah, I'd say it's light but equally flavorful.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree. It's right? Not light in flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got everything there that you need, you know.
Yeah.
Number two, smooth.
It has a smoothness, but I don't know that it's number two.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'd almost say more like more crushable than smooth.
Now, is that maybe because of the maltiness, the breadiness? What kind of brings it down for you?
Well, for me, the crushability of it is there, and the smoothness, I think it's again, it's light and it's crisp, and I think we'll see that later on. Mm-hmm. And I think that those two do more justice than the defining of smooth.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three.
And I kind of attach. Yeah. Sorry, I kind of attach smooth a little bit more to like a mouthfeel kind of aspect.
Yeah, that's
for
fair.
Myself.
Yeah, true.
Number three, crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. I would bump this up, I think. Yeah.
Four, clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Exactly.
Super clean. And again, this is an organic lager, and it still come through as super clean.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, kudos to them, is the only organic lager in the LCBO.
Yeah.
So, yes. Let that kind of play when you do your ratings later on.
And numero five, subtle.
Yeah, it has some subtleness to it, but I don't know that I would put that as a flavor profile. I would probably go bready.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Subtle's kind of, again, I wouldn't put that there in terms of the flavor profiles. Maybe that maltiness, that breadiness.
Even cereal, know. Yeah.
Yeah,
and Ricardo puts that as well as potentially the cereal. So I could see the bready cereal aspect of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well,
it's done really well.
It is.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. We should probably, you know, think about other people's thoughts on this. Chris, I believe you are the first one.
Yeah, so the first one comes from Jack W. GTO Jack is Jack's handle. On February 28th said, a nice, not too bready lager. Thank goodness it's not silicon-based, because then it would be inorganic. Again, not sure if inorganic is a word.
or silicon?
No, silicon is a word.
Yeah, silicon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Silicon,
whatever. Silicone, whatever.
Silicone, yeah.
So Jack rated it a 3.75 out of 5.
Nice. And so this one that I've got here is the Craft Beer Talk Show.
Oh.
Might be a podcast.
Friends of the podcast? Or
yes, actually. They are.
There you go.
Brett's friend.
Yeah, Brett's got lots of friends. On February 20th, stated the following. I actually really like this lager. I'd almost say it's quintessentially balanced. Now, again, we kind of go back to a previous comment that Brett made earlier on in this episode here, is the bad rap that lagers have. And so when somebody says the following, I actually really like this lager, it almost provides a little bit more of an insight into potentially that they don't generally like lagers.
Right. It's like a surprise that you like the lager.
Right.
But, also, then you look at the rating of a 3.75, right?
Well, I was just going to say that. So then they rated it a 3.75.
So I actually really like this lager, but it's a 3.75. So if you didn't like the lager, then what's your rating? Are you sitting at like a 2? Are you sitting at a 1? Like, what's...
Yeah. In all fairness, I mean, 3.75, I think for at least 3 of the 4 of us, is higher than our average.
Bingo.
Yep.
Right.
I'm still below 3.75, but I'm the closest to 3.75.
And that surprises nobody with the number of fives that you throw out. Like it's some kind of candy at a freaking parade.
Hey, keep making good beer. I'll give you a 5.
There you go. Or don't.
And then I won't.
So I'm going to start our ratings off then. So you see two 3.75s come in. I actually enjoy this. As I get through it a little bit more, I don't know if I've just switched my brain over to that kind of like Brettier kind of aspect of it. I'm not a huge cereal fan. but I'm going to give this a 4.
Mm. Yeah, I will go next.
If you copy me, I swear on me, mom.
I swear on me, mother.
What are you going to do to me?
You'll find out in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly.
I was kind of toggling between a 3.75 and a 4, but I think I'm going to land, because of Tyler's comment, on a 3.75.
See, I am influential.
Well, you know what? Negative. I'm going to be a 3.75, same as you, Chris, mostly because, you know, why copy Tyler? No, I'm kidding. But I'm actually, you know, I'm my own independent person. I give myself my own rating, so 3.75.
That should give us a 3.75 if my math adds up correctly.
You know, producer.
Yeah.
Ricardo.
Yeah.
Coming into a 3.5.
There it is. See? Yeah. So we got 3.75 overall for everybody here. We got a 4.
Man,
two 3.75s and 3.5.
Look at us go.
Everybody's happy, right?
Beautiful. Chris? Nice and clean, just like this beer. So let's move on to beer number 2. All right, we're on to our second beer today, which is the Organic Hazy IPA.
Nice. It's amazing how they work that organic in there again, eh?
Yeah, it's everywhere.
I mean, I'll talk about that a little bit. But
we will. So
we keep saying that. We better do something about talking about it.
We better. People are holding their breath. So this one comes in at 6.5 ABV and no IBUs listed.
Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So this one is described as a hazy, juicy IPA, which we've never heard about ever.
Never.
What is that?
Right. With notes of tropical fruit and melon, utilizing locally grown hops and artisanal malts, which is funny because I mentioned the artisanal bakery before.
Yes. Yes. Big word for you today. Yep. Agreed.
Yeah.
Not in terms of like length, just in terms of like using a lot. So in terms of Untappd, there are 289 check-ins with a 3.67 rating. However, another version without the word organic was released in August of 2020. Now, I don't know if this maybe was like a labeling mishap or it could be the same beer. We'll find out. And that one had 96 check-ins with an overall rating of 3.96. Mm. It does seem like people are still kind of checking in this beer under both entries. But Chris, kind of doing his research, because producer Ricardo was a little bit off the ball, looks like the second one came out around March of 2021, so maybe it just seems like they made it a core beer.
Could be.
Right?
Possible.
Right? So out of the can, we're going to use the main check-in that they have for this. 219 with a rating of 3.62, and only 1 5 out of 5?
Oh my gosh.
I wonder who that 5 out of 5 was. I could be that guy.
Yeah.
I just can't remember if it was out of the main one or out of the old check-in.
Yeah, so what we're defining as the main one is the one that has the most check-ins, yes. Right?
Yeah.
I can't remember actually what one check-in under.
And, and the quote-unquote main one actually has like the logo of this beer on it. So I think it's something that the brewery has put on to
Untappd. And I just remember, I believe you were the one who picked it up for all of us.
I was. That was back in the summer of 2020 when it first came out.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll see how she goes.
Some of us have.
I'm pretty excited because obviously you kind of hinted at my rating already, or myself has hinted at my rating.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty pumped in terms of how we're going
to
do this.
I mean, some of us have checked in actually to both.
Oh.
Myself included.
You checked into both? Both organic and non-organic?
So I checked
into... I believe Ricardo has also.
I checked into the Hazy IPA. Actually, it's interesting to see this because the three of us have. So that is Ricardo, yourself, and myself checked into the one that has the 96 check-ins. And then I've also checked into the one with 292. Is that... Oh. So it's actually gone up.
Wow, there's three check-ins in the last minute? Great. Look at that.
So... yeah, interesting actually to see that. But so I have checked into it too. And there was actually Scott checked in 31 minutes ago, Trevor 15 hours ago, and Kyle 22 hours ago. So there we go. So there's your three extras for,
there it is.
For 292. So I have checked into both of them. And I actually gave a different score, different rating for each. But we can
this
talk
is
about
where
that
we're getting confused a little bit. Okay. I'm still pretty excited for this beer.
This is where Untappd can be a little bit strange, but we'll navigate it.
And little, also kind of do with the labeling and organic and everything else like that. But
yeah,
Tyler,
we'll talk about that.
You know, Tyler,
yeah,
do your thing. This is your time. This is your line. You know, if we're ever going to have t-shirts,
this is
going to be the line that's on the t-shirt.
This is it.
Just don't open up the t-shirt to see your midsection.
What's wrong? I've been hitting the gym. What's wrong with my midsection?
Yeah. The only six pack I have is a six pack of beer.
Yeah, that's the one you have, but
yeah, you.
Yeah, you got
someone I like the best.
Don't even call it a six pack, call it a keg.
Oh, it's a six pack and a keg. It's got both.
So grab your can, grab your glass, and I'll get back to that information on the discrepancy there shortly. So let's open her up.
Ooh, might have got a little bit of spray in the face there.
Oh, nice. Organic spray.
No, I feel like this is a flashback to producer Pete.
Well, we are drinking this hazy IPA out of an IPA glass, believe it or not.
I do believe it.
So make sure to use your proper glassware.
All right. So to kind of go back to this, I might as well fill a little bit of time while you guys are doing some stuff there. But the original, let's say the hazy IPA without the picture, this is actually kind of funny. I had it September 13th, 2020.
Yep.
Yes, that was the one that Chris picked up for us back in the day.
Yeah, and then the organic hazy IPA, the way that's labeled now in Untappd, I had that one September 11th, 2021. So 2 days.
Almost a year later.
So wow. 2 days apart. What are the
What was the discrepancy between them?
In rating style?
Yeah.
3.5 and 3.75. So
pretty close, though.
Yeah, very, very close, which, again, kudos to myself for being a crap beer connoisseur on that. But yeah, it's interesting to kind of see that. So,
well, Ricardo had the OG, we'll call it, hazy IPA on September 29th, 2020 at a 4.25. And this organic one on tap
with
at
me.
The brewery with you.
Yep.
So that was September 11th. 2021 and gave it a 3.75.
So a bit more of a discrepancy there, 0.5 instead of the 0.25.
Yeah,
so
I had checked this in on September 14th of 2020 and I gave it a 5.
Wow.
And Chris's comment was, damn, a 5. Glad you like it so much.
Is that what he sounds like? Because we hear about the podcast all the time. It doesn't sound like that at all.
But I have not had this labeling of the organic hazy IPA.
There you go. So a bit of a discrepancy there, but we'll.
But same ABV.
So we'll go from there.
As labeled.
So what are you guys smelling this? I mean, we kind of just, I was kind of going off script there and brushing around, but.
Yeah. Well, first I'm going to start with what it looks like. I will say it kind of looks like that, the foggy IPA that we had from Refined Fool a couple of weeks ago, in terms of color and, you know, definitely.
A little bit of haze to it, eh?
Yeah, definitely hazy. Definitely cannot see through it. Kind of that peachy color.
You're telling me you can't see producer Ricardo like the first one through here?
It's definitely not as crisp as the organic lager. Right. Yeah. But yeah, in terms of smells, I'm actually getting a lot of kind of maltiness as well off the nose.
Fair enough. All right. Well, should we try it?
Why not? That's why we're here, right?
Let's do it.
Let's get it going, and then we'll get into the top five flavor profiles.
I will fill time when you guys sip it so you guys can figure out what you like. And then by all means, somebody will start talking, and then I will sip it.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of the melon, more so. I think, again, going back between the organic hazy IPA and the IPA, the 3.67 overall versus the 3.96. So it's interesting to see that kind of juxtaposition. But I am getting melon off this.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot, but...
I'm getting a lot of melon off this.
Yeah, I would say in terms of a fruit flavor, this is definitely melon is, you know, kind of dominating. It is a little bit more bitter than I was expecting. So there's some bitterness there. But yeah, it's a pretty good, pretty nice beer.
Do you want to know what kind of melon I'm getting out of this?
Are you getting honeydew or cantaloupe?
Oh, see, I'm getting
I'm
getting the cantaloupe. Now, Ricardo is emphatically throwing the hands around.
He's getting the honeydew.
See, and I feel it's more of the cantaloupe, if you will.
Let me take another sip.
If we were a 3-hour podcast, I'd tell producer Ricardo to run down to the local grocery store and grab a honeydew melon and a cantaloupe and
personally feel more cantaloupe on it. Honeydew's got a little bit of a different flavor.
I'm not a huge melon fan, so I can't tell you exactly what's honeydew or cantaloupe.
Never had like a fruit pack like that somebody's brought it to the
No, I have, but I haven't had
a fruit
recently.
Salad or something.
The only fruit salad I know is the frickin' Wiggles right now. Fruit salad.
True that.
Yummy, yummy. But it does describe on the can, it's the purple can, if you were to see this at the LCBO or in the London Brewing itself.
Yep.
So again, kind of similar to the organic lager. Gives you like, you know, the logo and then nice little description of what the beer says. But I want to know, are we getting the ultra smooth finish out of this beer?
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting smooth.
I'm getting a lot of smoothness here.
Yeah, it's pretty smooth.
Chris, did you determine whether you're in the honeydew or the cantaloupe?
I think I'm going to go with cantaloupe.
Winner, Genya! Winner,
we have a
Genya.
Big discrepancy. So we have and producer Ricardo with the honeydew, you with the cantaloupe. Tyler, yourself?
Tyler already said cantaloupe. Yeah, so
well, I can't help you out here, producer Ricardo. I was like, it's cantaloupe it is.
So the reason is...
As he flipped me off.
Cantaloupe has more of a, you know, kind of sweetness to it, which I'm kind of getting. And then the honeydew is... It's a much more subtle flavor.
Yeah,
and more almost closer to watermelon in the sense that it's very watery.
So we'll get there with the flavor profiles. And I think that there's one flavor profile that kind of would make it more understanding that it is the cantaloupe over the honeydew. Mm. And actually, producer Ricardo is commenting on the very one that I thought would actually sway it. So the top five flavor profiles for this one are, do we want to do the top one? Do we want to do the second one?
So, both from
two different ones.
We put in, because there's two entries, we put in both top five. So maybe we'll just do each at the same time, like number one, number one, number two, number two.
Yeah, so number one for the newer one, the one,
the
that,
newer
we're,
one,
the
yeah.
one that we're
the bigger
gonna,
entry.
The one that we're going to be untapping is hoppy. Not so much.
It is hoppy, but I wouldn't put it number one.
For the OG, if you will, hazy, which just so happens to be the number two.
On the newest one.
Yes. Obviously, you can tell it's hazy.
Yeah, the number one and two are actually flipped.
They are a little flip flop. Yes. So we have hoppy, hazy, and hazy hoppy. Number three for the one that we're having is labeled as juicy. And then on the original, it was citrus.
I get the juiciness out of this.
Yeah, I'd say juicy, but again, no citrus.
Yeah.
Really.
Right. Okay. Maybe. Yeah. And that, again, it might have been a little slight change
could have been in the
recipe, right? Number four for the one that we're having is clean, and then number four for the original one was melon. I think melon comes through for this one just as much as should.
Melon's going to have to go up. Yep. Obviously, as you mentioned, kind of like that watermelon vibe is kind of more so what I'm getting at versus the honeydew or the cantaloupe, for example, because I know more watermelon more. So I'm kind of getting that watery, but like still that slight melon flavor.
So you know watermelon more and probably pear?
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough.
Correct.
Cool. So then number five for the one that we're having is refreshing. And then number five for the hazy IPA.
Oh, I'll tell you what I know about this, though.
Is candy.
Oh, I know candy.
I bet you do. And so the candy portion of this is actually why I feel like it is a divergent between the honeydew and the cantaloupe. I find that the cantaloupe has more of a candy flavor profile than the honeydew does.
Yeah.
The honeydew-do, if you will.
The honeydew-do.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. So, all right, that's that.
I mean, I can't say I like candy in anything, so candy in a beer, it's fine.
Yeah, all right.
Like that watermelon, like sour candy, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, not in this beer, but...
Or like a Jolly Rancher or something?
Yeah, a Jolly Rancher watermelon, almost kind of like this. So I feel as though maybe we should go to other people's thoughts on this, shouldn't we?
You know what? I was thinking the exact same thing.
Thank
you. So I'm glad that you brought it up.
Great minds think alike, eh?
Oh, goodness.
So the first one's from Bob G. His handle is BLZE Bob.
Blaze Bob.
Blaze Bob. There you go. On March 13th said, really good. Everything I wanted. Juicy, hazy, hoppy, with a ton of citrus flavor. And he gave it a 4 out of 5.
So the next one comes from Jonathan H. Handle is Basil Max. On March 11th said, finally got my Christmas present from my sister. For someone who doesn't drink beer, she certainly picks out great ones. And Jonathan gave it a 4.25 out of 5.
There's so many things I want to say, but
we don't want to have that little E button in terms of our podcast.
I'll refrain. That's nice that your sister got this, and I'm glad that she picks good ones.
Yeah.
You know what?
Lucky for Jonathan.
Not only good ones, great ones.
There you go. All right. So out of 5 bottle caps, so we mentioned I have had the quote-unquote OG entry on Untappd, and I gave it a 4.0. This one I think is... I believe they did change the recipe, and I'm going to go with a 3.75 on this one.
Yes. So I'm going to give you my description of this from September 14th of 2020. The bomb.com, bomb emoji. One of the best, if not the best, hazy I've had. This beer oozes flavor of citrus and melon, and that gets better with every sip. Thanks to Chris for the pickup. they definitely change your... Milo Chicken was like, you know, 8 inches away from hole-in-one at St. Mary's Golf Club. But that's besides the point. I don't mean to my own horner. But... It's definitely
14 putted.
I had a birdie.
To get to that 8 inches of the hole.
Anywho, having this beer again for the first time in, you know, about a year and a half, it doesn't hit that five territory for me. And I don't know if maybe they switch up malt providers, hop providers, etc. I'm going to give this one a 4.
Wow, that's a 1 point differential.
That is.
We don't see that often here.
No.
So, again, the original, I came in at 3.5. The current one, a 3.75. I'm going to stand true with the 3.75. I think it is a great rating. It's a good beer. Kind of understanding a little bit more. And then it seems like this is a September tradition. So, I better get out there this September and have another one.
As you should, when we'll be live there, potentially.
Yeah, potentially. Right? That's actually a good point.
It's very possible.
Emma, let us know.
So that's going to conclude.
Well, conclude
our rating. So give us the rating.
Well, I'm going to go with the producer Ricardo's, right?
Yeah, I guess we care about him, don't we?
Yeah, so producer Ricardo's going to give it a 3.75. Chris, can you do the math that Ricardo's got in there, and maybe we can decide what we're going
to
do with it?
Yeah, so Ricardo is saying that averages to a 3.8125, which we are going to round down to a 3.75.
That is definitely 75% of 100%, let me tell you. So that concludes the review of London Co-op and the beers that they provided for today's episode.
Absolutely. So coming up, we're going to have a discussion about organic food and the cooperative business model. All right, we are back, and what we're going to talk about today is obviously related to London Brewing Co-op, and we mentioned that they use, you know, mostly organic ingredients, so we're going to talk about organics and whether we eat that and prefer that, etc. So the definition of organic is produced without the use of chemical fertilizers, pesticides, or other artificial agents, as I'm sure you know, a lot of people knew. So do we have a preference, organic or not? So personally, I don't. I don't know if you guys have a preference.
Well, I mean, I don't do the grocery shopping in my house. So really, I learned about earlier today in terms of time frames. I don't really do grocery shopping. So, you know, it's one of those things I just literally eat what's in my house.
So you don't say to your wife, please get me organic?
No, I don't.
I was going to say this is producer Ricardo does have a garden at home. So gets a lot of vegetables from that garden, and those are organic. For myself, it's a difficult time, right? And we look at what's kind of going on in world economics right now, and prices are increasing, right? And so do you have the ability to pay for organic food, which generally was... let's say at a 20-25% increase anyways in price with prices increasing regularly, right? So
it's true.
For myself, again, I sit in the Fife camp, which is unfortunate because it's a lonely camp. But I don't do a whole lot of grocery shopping. Do I support the organic side of things? And I think that might be coming up, and I'll just maybe jump to it. And maybe we can transition off of that.
Yeah.
Is for sure. I think there's no harm in doing that, and it's interesting. By doing less, you pay more, right? By not doing the pesticides, by not doing the extra stuff, you actually pay less for that stuff because it's not organic or as perceived as healthier.
I feel as though, like, for myself, like, I don't mind supporting local, but, and it comes to breweries, for example, in terms of supporting local, right? Like, if it's going to be local and organic, like, I'll support it 100%, right?
Right.
That's more so my perspective. If my wife is going to a grocery store and picking up, you know, organic bananas, for example, right?
Yeah.
Like, I could not tell you the difference if you lined up an organic banana and a non-organic banana. And ate both of them.
Can I tell you something about bananas? Fun fact.
Go ahead.
Yeah, please.
Is they actually all come from the exact same banana?
Yeah.
All bananas come from one banana.
All I know is in our house specifically, and this is due to my wife, is we will only buy bananas that come from Guatemala.
Oh. Even though they're all the same, dude.
It's kind of like avocados. So they have avocados labeled as organic and non-organic. They're actually all organic. So just buy the non-organic because they're actually organic.
Right.
Can
I throw something in here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I listened to actually Stuff You Should Know, another podcast.
Yeah.
And they did a interesting of like free range chickens and cage free chickens. Check that out. It kind of falls in line with this because it is a different kind of setting.
Yeah.
But free range might just be like a hole in the wall.
Right.
But again, they keep their food and their water inside the space.
Building, yeah.
So they're free range, but yet they never leave the building.
Right.
Anyways, so go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Yeah. So like personally, I don't necessarily have a preference in general, but I will say we have had certain products where we've bought the organic and the non-organic, and I've preferred the organic. There's some mm-hmm. salsas, mm-hmm. Some spaghetti sauce, stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah, so where we've had both, and we prefer the organic.
Yeah, I feel like salsa and stuff like that, for sure, I'd be 100% in.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to say before we move on to the co-op thing is producer Ricardo has kind of come in. It's like, you know, he had the whole garden thing with like peppers, eggplant, zucchini. What is a Swiss chard?
Oh, you know what Swiss chard is?
No, I actually don't.
Wow.
I just know Swiss is like cheese and chocolate. So what's chard?
It's like lettuce. It's like a lettuce kind of greenery.
Like a romaine or like a iceberg?
No, like a Swiss chard.
And I will say Ricardo last summer hooked me up with some radishes. They were very nice.
Right. Radishes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
So let's move into the co-op. Chris, what do you got?
Yeah, speaking of cooperating between you guys in terms of...
the radishes, yeah.
Exactly.
So in terms of pros and cons from the co-op model, so... Personally, like, I don't see a lot of cons other than if you were the sole owner, you would have all, you know, profits. But I think the pro of the co-op model is that all your employees are kind of working towards that, you know, ownership, and that gives them some appreciation in what they're doing, and they want it to succeed, right?
So I'll use kind of the co-op model as us, for example, okay? In terms of us starting a podcast, we all have, let's say, for example.
For examples here.
Yes, for example. Okay. The producers, for some reason, have 25% of this.
Yeah.
And then Tyler, myself, and Chris all have 25%.
Yeah.
I would constitute that as a co-op, correct? Because we all have equal say in terms of what happens. All right? That is
kind of.
Sure.
Kind of.
We'll walk the line. Okay. But.
So a pro is that everybody has a say. But a con is everybody has a say. So then...
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. So then you're stuck on a 2-2 vote, and you're like, huh, what one's going to win out of this? Like, I feel as though maybe we should just get, like, Judge Judy to come in and figure who wins on which side. That's kind of where I'm going at. By the way, I mean, eventually when we all have, you know, make millions of dollars, we'll start a co-op brewery together, right? All four of us?
Yeah.
I don't know who's brewing the beer, but like we'll figure it out.
We'll find someone to brew the beer.
I mean, there are some benefits and negatives to any kind of business model. And,
absolutely.
And co-op falls into that. And I don't want to speak for producer Ricardo, but he subscribes to a co-op as well, right? I myself do. And he kind of gave me like, what? I do? But that comes down to like a credit union. A credit union is at its basic core. And this is how well I know Ricardo, maybe more than he knows himself, is that...
Which is not a good thing.
Right. A credit union is a type of co-op. So you buy into it. You have a network. You basically have shares, essentially, in the way the company is. But you don't really get to dictate really decisions on like the grand scale.
Right.
But actually, my first bank institution was a credit union, and I'm all for the co-op idea. I think it's great. Chris,
yeah. So
you weren't part of these the courses that I took. I don't think these ones, but I took Latin America at Windsor.
Yeah.
And a lot of Latin America countries. They are huge into the co-op kind of model.
Right.
And
Señor.
A lot of textiles and the operation of factories and trying to boost the economy. So they've used the co-op model to better themselves. And again, pros and cons.
Yeah. And like you mentioned, and a lot of times you don't necessarily actually get a say in what happens. So, for example, I work for a publicly traded company. We have a share ownership plan where we get to buy shares of the company and we get shares bought for us by the company. And so technically you're an owner of the company, but really you're, you know, a small, very minority of ownership. So you don't actually get a
say. You're that little piece of dust that's over there in terms of the whole grand scheme of things.
Exactly. But we share in the profits, right? So that's the point.
I feel as though, like, cooperatively between the four of us, we should probably wrap this up, shouldn't we?
Yes, let's wrap it up.
Let's all agree in terms of wrapping this up and moving on to our farewell, which we'll give to you in a moment.
That's all for today's episode.
Yes, it is. Thank you again for listening. Keep on listening every other Thursday as Craft Beer Connoisseurs releases a new episode and on our off Thursdays for a producer special.
Make sure to tell your friends, family, and your favorite organic friend.
Wow.
Yes.
So from all of us and producer, I'll do what Fife started off with. Ricardo. I'm Tyler.
I'm Brett.
And I'm Chris. And together, we are the Craft Beer Connoisseurs.